Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, September 30th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
U.S. futures gain as the White House plays down reports it's looking to limit Chinese investment.
Protests hit Hong Kong for a 17th weekend as authorities brace for more unrest tomorrow.
It is a big week for the U.S. economy. Traders prepare for monthly payroll data and remarks from a dozen Fed officials.
President Trump demands to meet the anonymous whistleblower in the impeachment inquiry, plus more about the latest NYPD officer who died in the line of duty. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Blischka. Coming up in sports, the Yankees are all set for the postseason, while the Giants may be all set at the quarterback spot.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures are gaining to start the week. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 11 points, Dow futures up 81, NASDAQ futures up 41, the DAX in Germany is up almost 0.2%, so is the CAC in Paris, FTSE 100 down 0.1%, 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 1.69%, yield on the 2-year 1.64%, NYMEX crude oil down 1.2% or 68 cents at $55.23 a barrel, COMEX gold is down 0.8% or $12.40 at $14.94 an ounce. The euro, 1.0921 against the dollar. The yen at 107.97. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thanks. We begin with the latest developments in the trade war. The Trump administration is issuing a partial denial to our report last week that the White House is considering imposing limits on U.S. investment in China. Sean Donnan broke the story for Bloomberg. He has more from our 99.1 studios in Washington.
Talking to folks inside and around the administration, what we're hearing is that this could drag on for months. I had one source tell me that the deliberations are about halfway done. But at the same time, the National Economic Council, which is what Larry Kudlow runs over there at the White House, is still working on an assessment of the exact potential economic impacts of a move like this. A lot of money involved. And they're going to have to think hard and long about what exactly they go after.
We reported Friday that the Trump administration was considering delisting Chinese companies from U.S. exchanges, imposing limits on U.S. government pension funds investing in Chinese markets, and putting caps on the value of Chinese companies included in indexes managed by U.S. firms.
Now, a spokeswoman for the Treasury tells us there are no plans to stop Chinese companies from listing on U.S. exchanges. It's a denial of one measure under consideration, though the Treasury's statement did not address other items being discussed. All this comes ahead of key trade negotiations scheduled for next week. We get more from Bloomberg, Selena Wang in Beijing.
This does weigh on trade talks. This comes at a very sensitive time. And regardless of how far along talks about limiting U.S. portfolio funds to China actually got, the fact that these discussions were taking place at all just highlights how tense the U.S. and China relationship is right now. And these discussions also further a view among some hawks in China here in Beijing that the U.S., Washington, is trying to contain China's economic rise.
The White House hosts Chinese Vice Premier Liu He for trade talks October 10th, just days before another increase in U.S. tariffs is set to take effect.
U.S. stocks slumped Friday after that report, and today equities in Asia followed suit. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The CSI 300 closed lower by 1%. Stocks in Hong Kong rose, however, along with those in South Korea. In Japan, key indexes were dragged lower by automakers and pharmaceutical stocks. The offshore yuan was slightly firmer amid indications that high-level trade talks are still scheduled for next week, while the Korean won rebounded in late trade after touching a three-week low as the nation's industrial output slid more than expected. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Julia, thank you. In Hong Kong, it was another weekend of violent protests with more demonstrations likely tomorrow as China marks its 70th anniversary of communist rule. Bloomberg's Stephen Engel has the very latest from the streets of Hong Kong.
Police firing tear gas. They used water cannon with blue dye to help identify some of the more hardcore protesters who tried to storm the Legislative Council building and the government offices. They were throwing Molotov cocktails as well as any projectiles they could find, including bricks. They also set up a barricade, several barricades, and lit them on fire. It was a violent evening. Tuesday is a public holiday, and Protest organizers say they want to rally again here in Hong Kong. However, police have banned that rally. Nevertheless, the last time we saw a ban by the police, the protesters showed up anyway. Stephen Engel, Bloomberg News, Hong Kong.
All right, Stephen, thank you. In Germany today, we have data showing an improved labor market. The number of people out of work decreased by 10,000 in September. Germany's unemployment rate now stands at 5%. That's near a record low.
Here in the U.S., it's a busy week for economic data, including the government's monthly jobs report. We get a preview now from Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice.
Economists surveyed by Bloomberg are forecasting a moderate gain of 140,000 non-farm jobs in September. There are, however, signs of further moderation. Data from the conference board show the share of workers who say jobs are plentiful is at a three-month low. Also on this week's data calendar, figures on business hiring from payroll provider ADP and ISM data on factories and services. Vinnie Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinnie, thanks. We hear from about a dozen Federal Reserve officials this week as well. With more on that, here's Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Investors will be listening for any remarks about the strength of the U.S. economy and the path of interest rates. Tomorrow, Chicago Fed President Charlie Evans speaks at a conference hosted by the Bundesbank in Frankfurt, and St. Louis Fed President Jim Bullard has a community banking conference. Later in the week, Cleveland Fed President Loretta Mester will take part in a panel discussion on inflation with former Fed Chair Ben Bernanke. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. We'll also hear from Fed Vice Chairman Richard Clarida this week. He speaks on the economy and monetary policy Thursday evening, just ahead of Friday's payrolls report.
As Credit Suisse continues to come under scrutiny for spying on the head of its wealth management unit, looks like CEO Tidjane Thiam could emerge unscathed. Sources tell us the board of Credit Suisse is backing Thiam ahead of a crucial meeting today to determine who will take blame for the scandal. Still, it's unclear whether any board-level executives will be punished.
And we have another bankruptcy in the U.S. retail industry. Forever 21 has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in Delaware. The company plans to keep operating while it works out plans to pay creditors and turn around the business. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 6:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Donald Trump called for the Democrat leading the House impeachment inquiry to be questioned for treason and demanded to meet with the anonymous whistleblower who is a key witness in the investigation. More from Bloomberg's Mark Mills.
In a series of Sunday night Twitter posts, the president called for a treason investigation into House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff, saying the California Democrat had lied in perhaps the most blatant and sinister manner ever in the House of Representatives. That came after Trump called for Schiff to immediately resign. Trump wants to meet the whistleblower who raised concerns over his controversial July phone call with the Ukrainian president. The whistleblower has the legal right to remain anonymous. Trump also wants the identities of individuals who gave information cited in the whistleblower report. Mark Mills, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Joe Biden's campaign implored the media to stop booking Rudy Giuliani. According to a letter from Biden's campaign, frequent appearances on TV by President Trump's personal lawyer are, and this is a quote now, increasingly unhinged and peppered with desperate lies about Biden and his son. Giuliani on ABC's This Week discussed the accuracy of the whistleblower's complaint that launched an impeachment inquiry last week.
He could have heard it wrong. That's why it's hearsay. Because it's unreliable, inherently unreliable.
That's what the investigation
unlike
is about.
Unlike him, please, can I just make my point?
You've been making your point.
No, I haven't.
ABC's This Week can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. A cash-strapped Cory Booker says he could see his presidential campaign end by tomorrow unless he raises $1.7 million.
We're running a great election to win, but we can't continue this without more support. I won't continue this unless I can look people in the eye and say we have a chance to win it. And so if you believe in me, this is the time to help, because if without it, we shouldn't be in this race.
Senator Booker has languished at 2 or 3% in most polls. An NYPD officer grappling with an armed man died early Sunday in the Bronx after being shot three times, possibly with his own gun. Police say the 27-year-old suspect also died after officers fired at him. The NYPD identified the fallen officer as 33-year-old Brian Mulkeen. Authorities say Mulkeen was patrolling the streets around a city apartment complex as part of a unit investigating potential gang activity. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right. Thank you, Michael. It's 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. The postseason is alive and ready for the Yankees, who fell in the season finale 6-1 to the Rangers, who closed out their stay at the ballpark in Arlington with an impressive performance from starter Lance Lynn. He fanned 10 and picked up his career best 16th win. Masahiro Tanaka, the losing pitcher, falling to 11-9. The Yankees finished with 103 wins, second most in the American League behind the best record in baseball, the Astros. Yankees host the Twins in game one of the ALDS on Friday. Mets' up and down season culminated with a 7-6 walk-off win versus Atlanta in 11 innings. Still bittersweet, though, says manager Mickey Callaway.
This is going to stink going home and having to watch all this. I remember doing it last year. I've never done it as a manager, having to sit there and watch the playoffs. So it's an emotional day. I love the way we won the game.
Mets finished with a winning record, 10 games above 500, and showcased future rookie of the year, Pete Alonso. To the NFL, the Giants are back at 500.
Haskett takes shotgun snap. He's back to throw. He's under pressure. He throws it over the middle. Intercepted. He threw it late. Picked off by Peppers. Running down the right side to the 10th spot. Touchdown, Giants. Jabril Peppers.
Westwood won. It helps rookie quarterback Daniel Jones when the defense delivers points as New York clobbered the Redskins 24-3 to improve to 2-2. Jones threw for 225 yards and a touchdown as the torch has officially been passed from Eli Manning. Redskins are 0-4. Dallas lost their first game coming up short in New Orleans while the Jets had Sunday off. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
And Rob, how would you like a jersey that LeBron James wore in high school? There is one up for auction, a sweat-stained jersey that James wore as a teen in 2002. It's up for bids through October 19th, and so far it's up to $37,000. Golden Auction says 5% of the proceeds will go to the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts. This is Bloomberg. Sports brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let Burden create innovative tax solutions to benefit your family and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com. Burden Accountants and Advisors. They listen, they solve, they do.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are higher this morning. Stocks in Europe have been fluctuating this morning as investors are working to interpret the latest escalation in a trade rivalry between the world's two largest economies. U.S. stock index futures are rising while treasuries are slipping. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael DeBar with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Adam Schiff, chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, says Congress expects to hear very soon from a whistleblower whose complaints spurred an impeachment inquiry against President Trump. It comes as the president demands to meet the anonymous whistleblower. France is laying to rest one of its presidents. About 30 foreign leaders are attending funeral services today for Jacques Chirac. In the NFL, Giants over the Redskins, Patriots won. The Ravens lost. Final day of the regular MLB season. The Yankees are moving on to the playoffs lost. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thanks. 6:18 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Time to get set up for the trading day and week ahead. Joe Weisenthal, head of the America's News Desk for Bloomberg News, joins us now to help us do that from New York. In London, we're joined by executive editor Heather Harris, and managing editor Emma O'Brien is with us from Sydney this morning. You heard Karen mention it just a moment ago, Joe Weisenthal. Markets are still digesting this report from Bloomberg News on Friday that the Trump administration is considering pretty significant limits on portfolio flows into China.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So far, the trade war has mostly been conducted via limits on real goods. So tariffs on Chinese exports, questions about how much China would buy from the U.S. farms and so forth. But, right, you know, according to Bloomberg News reporting, and now the White House has acknowledged it, although they say there is nothing imminent, people are discussing the possibility of the trade war moving to capital flows, which is a whole new level. And right now we see markets bouncing back a little bit from the sell-off that we saw on Friday. Nonetheless, this would clearly take the trade war in a brand new direction.
And how is this being received in China, Emma O'Brien?
Well, Chinese stocks did fall on the news, probably because it was viewed, as Joe said, as a bit of an escalation in the US's approach and a real targeting of financial markets. Some investors also likely sold off ahead of the big week-long Golden Week holiday in China just to be safe. The official reaction to the report, pretty sanguine. China said it would continue to open up its financial system to the outside and encourage foreign financial institutions to invest. But meanwhile, we did have some quite buoyant economic data today, which is quite heartening for the Chinese government. China's manufacturing PMI rising to 49.8, better than analysts expected, though still the fifth month it's been in contraction territory. Now, measures of new export orders and factory output, they also improved, though they still were shrinking there. Economists viewing it overall as a small rebound, though in a wider downward cycle, and saying that it doesn't alter that pessimistic outlook for China's overall economy.
Joe Weisenthal, we'll go back to you. Are you going to be looking for more market reaction to developments in the impeachment investigation in Washington?
It's really interesting trying to get a handle on the degree to which markets are sensitive to that story. Of course, it's top of mind for everyone, and we have seen evidence that developments have hit the market. And so when specific news items have come out for the first time over the last several trading sessions, you can see the impact on markets. Still, it's mild. We haven't seen any sustained selling or anything like that on markets as a result of impeachment. But the longer this goes on, the more uncertainty that emerges. I do think this is something that traders will be watching every single day.
Heather Harris in London, political uncertainty, I would imagine, is front and center for you as well. Not just Brexit developments, but now Prime Minister Johnson is facing a sex scandal.
Right. So it's not quite impeachment in the UK, but Boris Johnson had hoped to go to his Conservative Party's annual conference in Manchester this week and really beat the drum about the Conservatives being the party that will get Brexit done. That's their slogan, in fact. But really what's going on is he's now having to fend off all sorts of scandal about sexual impropriety as he goes into this conference. His former, the former Chancellor, Philip Hammond, also sort of making suggestions about him being beholden to speculators, or that, you know, speculators are going to be the main beneficiaries of a no deal. And meantime, his political opponents are back in Westminster deciding whether to call a vote of no confidence in him when he might be delivering his main speech to the Conservatives on Wednesday. So the plot thickens.
And the plot thickens as well in terms of the protest in Hong Kong. Emma O'Brien, we finally have the anniversary of the People's Republic founding tomorrow, and more protests expected then.
That's right. It's going to be fascinating how tomorrow plays out. You have China bringing out all the pomp and ceremony in Beijing to celebrate that 70th anniversary. While this rebellion in Hong Kong continues to simmer, protesters are expected to show out in force on October 1, with the unrest already heating up tonight. A few months ago, many commentators thought China would do something to make sure the demonstrations had been contained by this week. There's also fears around that of a military crackdown. So it's pretty interesting that they're letting this go on and potentially steal their thunder tomorrow.
Heather Harris, where do things stand on the Credit Suisse corporate spying investigation at this point?
Yeah, so that will really come to a head this evening when the Credit Suisse board meets to decide on which heads are going to roll as a result of this spy scandal, this espionage scandal that's really sort of been catching the imagination of both financial circles and, you know, ordinary people in Zurich. We think that CEO Tijan Tayam is safe for now and looks like the board is going to back him after shareholders voice their support. But in question now is Chief Operating Officer and Tayam confidant Pierre-Olivier Bouet, and we'll see later today whether he gets away with a warning or whether he has to leave his job.
And Joe Weisenthal, as if the China trade war and impeachment weren't enough to keep on top of, we've got a lot of economic data in the U.S. this week, including the jobs report on Friday.
That's exactly right. So ultimately, nothing matters more than the real economy, because the real economy is what drives earnings, and that's what drives stocks. And so one thing that's not noise is what is actually happening with the economy, and is there a risk of a recession, as many people are talking about. Huge week for data coming up, as the first week of the month always is. And yes, Friday's jobs report is the big event.
And we are going to have plenty of coverage of it ahead of that. Joe Weisenthal, head of the America's News Desk for Bloomberg News, with us in New York. Also, thanks this morning to executive editor Heather Harris in London, and from Sydney, managing editor Emma O'Brien. Futures pointing to a higher open as we get set for the trading week. This is Bloomberg. And it is 6:25 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high return income producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are higher as we close out the last trading day of the quarter, while stocks in Asia closed lower as investors try to interpret the latest trade developments between the U.S. and China.
Yeah, the Trump administration is issuing a partial denial to our report from last week that the White House is discussing the idea of imposing limits on U.S. investment in China. Sean Donnan broke the story for Bloomberg. He has more from our 99.1 studios in Washington.
What we're hearing is that this could drag on for months. I had one source tell me that the deliberations are about halfway done, and they're going to have to think hard and long about what exactly they go after.
Now, a spokeswoman for the Treasury tells us there are no plans to stop Chinese companies from listing on U.S. exchanges. The statement refutes one part of our report, but declines to comment on discussions about imposing limits on U.S. government pension funds investing in Chinese markets or putting caps on the value of Chinese companies included in indexes managed by U.S. firms. We get more from Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie in Beijing.
This would probably be the most significant move against China in terms of this economic battle since, of course, the blocking of Huawei from software and hardware components. Of course, it is still being deliberated, but nonetheless, it is going to make these trade talks that much more complicated, and it certainly will strengthen the hands of those hawks here in Beijing who have been arguing that this is all part of an attempt to undermine China's rise.
This all comes ahead of key trade negotiations scheduled for October 10th, just days before another increase in U.S. tariffs is set to take effect.
In other news, China's manufacturing sector improved in September, but data show factories still contracting. The Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index rose to 49.8 last month.
The Bank of Japan cut bond buying for the fourth time this month. It was part of a regular operation as the BOJ continues with efforts to steepen the yield curve.
And in the UK, the economy shrank 0.2% in the second quarter. That confirms the previous estimate, making it the first quarterly contraction for Britain in 7 years.
Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And right now, S&P futures are up 10 points. Dow futures are up 80 and NASDAQ futures up 39. The DAX in Germany is little change this morning. So is the CAC in Paris. The FTSE 100 is down 0.2%. The 10-year Treasury is down 5/32. The yield 1.69%. The yield on the 2-year 1.64%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 1% or 56 cents at $55.35 a barrel. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Karen, thanks. It's 6:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here to tell us more of what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff has confirmed the White House whistleblower has reached an agreement to testify before Congress. Schiff on ABC's This Week says even the White House report on the phone call between President Trump and Ukraine's president shows Trump's request for help in investigating political rival Joe Biden and his son is extortion.
The president believes that it is his God-given right to shake down foreign leaders for help in his reelection, and he should not be encumbered by the public finding out about it. That's what has incensed the president.
Meanwhile, President Trump called for Schiff to be questioned for treason and demanded to meet the anonymous whistleblower. Trump's attorney, Rudy Giuliani, also on ABC's This Week.
He called him up and he said, I want you to investigate these charges of corruption. If he hadn't asked them to investigate Biden, he would have violated Article 2, Section 3 of the Constitution.
ABC's This Week can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says we lost a hero. NYPD officer Brian Mulkeen died early Sunday in the Bronx while grappling with an armed man. Police say Mulkeen, who was 33, was shot three times, possibly with his own gun. Officers killed the suspect. Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman warned that war between his country and Iran would lead to a total collapse of the global economy. Bin Salman, on CBS's 60 Minutes, also says the murder of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi was a mistake by agents of the Saudi government.
This was a heinous crime, but I take full responsibility as a leader in Saudi Arabia, especially since it was committed by individuals working for the Saudi government.
The Crown Prince says, though, he did not order Khashoggi's murder. Repairs to a key New York City subway tunnel damaged during Superstorm Sandy is back on track to be finished even sooner than expected. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says the L train renovation between Brooklyn and Manhattan is now expected to be completed by April, ahead of the 15-month projection of how long it would take. Cars will be banned from Lower Manhattan's 14th Street, a major east-west thoroughfare, starting Thursday. It's part of an 18-month experiment to speed crawling crosstown travel. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. Just before 6:36 on Wall Street, it's time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. The waiting is finally over for the Yankees, who won the American League East by an amazing 7 games. Despite losing the season finale 6-1 in Texas, the Yankees finish with the second-best record in the American League behind the Astros, who won a big league-best 107 games. New York had 103. Yankees host the Twins in the American League Division Series Game 1 on Friday. Tampa Bay visits Oakland in the wildcard game on Tuesday for the right to then play Houston. The Mets, they provided their fans some excitement on the final day of the year.
I want to know the count. Here's the pitch. Swing and a drive, well hit, right field. Back goes Ortega at the wall. How do you like that? Put it in the box. Dom Smith with a pinch hit home run wins the season finale for the Mets.
Mets radio 7-6. They walk off Atlanta to finish with 86 wins and sport future rookie of the year, Pete Alonso, who set the record clubbing 53 home runs, one more than Aaron Judge's rookie campaign. Now, the gridiron, it's been quite a turnaround for the Giants. They've officially handed it off to Daniel Jones last week in a come-from-behind win, but then backed it up with even more firepower on Sunday, torching Washington 24-3, which included a pick six from Jabril Peppers. Jones on the adjustments needed.
If we're going to keep winning, we got to, you know, address a number of things, and we got to improve a number of things as a team if we want to keep it going. So I think it's important that we understand that.
Jones finished with 225 yards and a touchdown, while Wayne Gallman had 63 yards rushing and a score, filling in for Saquon Barkley. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, Rob, thank you. 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
Several EU interior ministers recently drafted new measures to help refugees rescued in the Mediterranean. Their plan should serve as the basis of a new approach for Europe. Finland, France, Germany, Italy, and Malta have agreed to automatically accept their fair share of rescued migrants. Germany, for example, will take 25% of those saved. Although this would be an improvement on the status quo, it could encourage migrants to make the journey for economic reasons. So recipient countries will process asylum applications much faster and immediately deport those rejected. Migrants can be deported only if their countries of origin cooperate. So another part of this plan is to negotiate deals with those countries. Perhaps, for example, offering their citizens easier pathways to legal migration through scholarships and streamlined visas. Europe's migration problems won't end under such a deal, but they should lessen. Ensuring the promise of orderly, legal immigration is key. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It's coming up to 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
Nestle is increasing checks on the coffee it buys after recent tests showed beans from some countries had levels of the weed killer glyphosate that are close to a regulatory limit. The world's largest coffee roaster has informed suppliers of Indonesian and certain Brazilian beans of the new procedures, which go into effect starting October 1st, according to memos reviewed by Bloomberg. The company says the new measures should be temporary until producing countries correct the application of glyphosate. The move comes at a time when many countries have either banned or are seeking to prohibit the use of glyphosate used in the weed killer Roundup. Bayer AG, which spent $63 billion buying the product's maker, Monsanto, is now facing billions of dollars worth of lawsuits claiming it causes cancer. Nestle said it actively monitors chemical residues. It says it's working with growers to reduce the need for glyphosate and is encouraging the adoption of other weeding methods. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, thanks, Bob. Now a look at some of the most active stocks in early trading this morning. Shares of Dova Pharmaceuticals are higher by 36%. That's after Sobi agreed to buy the company for almost $1 billion. Shares of Wells Fargo are lower by about 0.3% after the bank was downgraded to neutral at Baird. United Health is down 1.5%. The health insurer was downgraded to market perform at BMO Capital Markets. And AMD shares, they are higher by 1%. No apparent catalyst there, but this might be AMD bouncing back from last week's decline of more than 4%. Those are some of the movers in the pre-market this morning. Bloomberg Terminal customers can check out the early equity action by typing most U4GO in the search bar. S&P futures are higher by almost 9 points. Dow futures up 67 and NASDAQ futures up 35.5 points. This is Bloomberg. And coming up, the Bloomberg Morning Call brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a tri-state Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today. You're listening to Bloomberg Radio.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are higher this morning. Let's go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures in the green right now as the U.S. downplayed reports of limits of investments in Chinese companies. Dow futures currently up 65 points. S&P's gain 8.5, while NASDAQ futures climb by 36. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.69%. Gold is down 10, and Shanghai fell 0.9% overnight. Well, European markets are trading mostly higher this morning. And note that Draghi says the ECB can do more if needed to boost inflation. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 9:45, Chicago PMI, and at 10:30, the Dallas Fed. Regarding earnings this morning, Cal-Maine EPS missed estimates and Thor EPS beat estimates. In other news, Electric reported that Tesla is a few thousand cars short of their Q3 delivery plan. And wrapping things up, Emerson Electric was upgraded to outperform at RBC, while Wells Fargo downgraded to neutral at Robert Baird. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, says his panel will hear very soon from the whistleblower at the heart of the impeachment inquiry against President Trump. California Democrat Adam Schiff says that the person has agreed to testify, but that some security details remain to be worked out. Meanwhile, President Trump is demanding to meet with the anonymous whistleblower. Hong Kong had one of the most violent days in 17 weeks of demonstrations. Protesters clashed with police throwing bricks in response to tear gas. In the NFL, the Giants beat the Redskins 24-3. The Patriots won along with the Raiders. The Ravens lost. In the final day of the regular MLB season, the Yankees, who are moving on to the playoffs, lost. The Mets won. The Red Sox beat the Orioles. The Nationals won the Giants. and A's lost. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. It's time now to check what's going on in D.C., where impeachment continues to dominate the conversation. As Michael just reported, House Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff went on ABC's This Week to announce that the whistleblower whose complaint sparked the inquiry against President Trump will be allowed to testify.
We are taking all the precautions we can to make sure that we do so. We allow that testimony to go forward in a way that protects the whistleblower's identity, because as you can imagine, with the president issuing threats, like, we ought to treat these people who expose my wrongdoing as we used to treat traitors and spies, and we used to execute traitors and spies, you can imagine the security concerns here.
President Trump's attorney Rudy Giuliani was on the same program. Would he be willing to testify about his activities in Ukraine?
I wouldn't cooperate with Adam Schiff. I think Adam Schiff should be removed. If they remove Adam Schiff, if they put a neutral person in who hasn't prejudged the case, if they put someone in, a Democrat who hasn't expressed an opinion yet, if I had a judge in a case and he had already announced I'm going to impeach, if he already went ahead and did a whole false episode, wouldn't I move to recuse that judge?
So that's your answer. You're not going to cooperate.
I didn't say that. I said I will consider it.
President Trump's allies are also trying to poke holes in the whistleblower's credibility. White House senior advisor Stephen Miller on Fox News Sunday.
I've worked in the government now, the federal government now, for nearly 3 years. I know what the deep state looks like. I know the difference between a whistleblower and a deep state operative. This is a deep state operative. Pure and simple.
Republican Senator Lindsey Graham on CBS's Face the Nation.
I think this whole thing is a sham. I can't believe we're talking about impeaching the president based on an accusation, based on hearsay. Who is this whistleblower? What bias do they have? Why did they pick this whistleblower to tell a hearsay story? The transcript does not match the complaint. What's going on here?
U.S. intelligence has also accused Iran of election interference. Iran's foreign minister Javad Zarif went on NBC's Meet the Press to rebut that.
We don't interfere in the internal affairs of another country, but there is a cyber war going on. The United States started that cyber war with attacking our nuclear facilities in a very dangerous, irresponsible way that could have killed millions of people.
And that is some of the conversation from the political shows that air every Sunday on Bloomberg Radio, starting with NBC's Meet the Press at 11 a.m. Wall Street time, followed by Fox News Sunday at noon, ABC's This Week at 1 p.m., and Face the Nation from CBS at 2 o'clock. For more, let's bring in Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. And there have been developments, of course, since those Sunday shows aired, Kate, not the least of which President Trump ratcheting up his rhetoric on Twitter, demanding to face the whistleblower, calling for Adam Schiff to be investigated for treason, even quoting someone warning of civil war. Should this be allowed to go further? The escalation doesn't seem to be letting up any.
No, and I wouldn't expect it to. I think that we're likely to see more of the same as this continues, because Trump is taking a page right out of his 2016 playbook. And I would expect this rhetoric to just continue to escalate as Democrats get further and further into their investigation.
What advice has the president gotten on how to respond to this inquiry, and is he responding to any of that advice?
Well, I would imagine that his lawyers and his advisors behind the scenes are telling him to take a little bit of a different approach from the one that we're seeing on Twitter. However, hardcore political operatives are likely to really support this type of a response that we've seen from him over the last couple days, because it really is the kind of response that does resonate with his base. And so we're likely to see that continue.
Will this potentially erode the support that the president has from Republicans on Capitol Hill as they decide whether to support Democrats on an impeachment inquiry, or if they're on the Senate side, to consider whatever charges that House Democrats might bring?
It certainly could, and that's something that we're all going to be watching very closely, is the poll numbers on this. If we start to see them moving, then I think it's likely that Republicans could begin abandoning the president, and that certainly would spell trouble for him going forward.
Now, we have seen some polls come out since the inquiry was announced by Speaker Pelosi. We did see something of a swing in public support for an impeachment inquiry. Could that be seen as just a one-time spike, or could it be the start of a trend?
It could definitely be the start of a trend, and I think that Democrats are going to be watching it just as closely as Republicans, and I think that part of how hard Democrats go on this impeachment proceedings will depend on where the poll numbers go from here.
In terms of the whistleblower, there's been some concern put out there that the whistleblower feels as though he or she might be at some risk, not just politically, but physically, by some of the rhetoric that we've seen from the president. What more can you tell us about that?
Yeah, and that's a real concern that's out there. I think that's something that people have to be very aware of going forward, and certainly something that the members of Congress that are conducting this investigation are going to be aware of as they prepare to hear from that whistleblower. Certainly Trump isn't helping that any with his rhetoric, and so I think that that is going to become part of the basis for Democrats' criticism of the president going forward.
So how would you expect the investigation or any hearings to go forward with that whistleblower while still protecting that person's anonymity?
There's certainly going to be all sorts of really tight security and extensive efforts to keep that person's anonymity from intact, I guess, to get your identity, to keep their identity from coming out. And so I think that that's going to be a big part of where Democrats focus their efforts. And they're going to be very, very sure to try to do everything they can to keep that person from coming to harm.
Now, there's been some disagreement, meanwhile, on whether the whistleblower is under federal protection at this point. What do we know about that?
Well, I think that the sense is that there certainly are federal whistleblower protection laws, and so it would stand to reason that the whistleblower is under federal protection. But I think that, like with all matters pertaining to the whistleblower at that point, there isn't a lot of information that's been made public.
What do you make of Joe Biden's response to this inquiry so far? The most we've heard from the campaign at this point is this letter that went out to media outlets urging them not to book Rudy Giuliani, the president's personal lawyer, for any future media appearances.
Yeah, well, I think Biden has to be careful in how he plays this. He's someone that's already losing ground to Elizabeth Warren in the polls. And so I think that even though these allegations have been largely discredited, there's actually a lot of a risk here for him.
Are you going to be expecting Biden himself or the Biden campaign to give more of a response to what's happening if, some of this criticism that we are hearing from Republican lawmakers continues to be part of this story?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just going to make things even more difficult for Biden going forward. He's going to have a lot to deal with, and this certainly isn't helping him any.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Lots to follow as this impeachment saga really just gets started. And you can read more about it on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And as always, follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. We did have this headline: crossing the Bloomberg, Saudi Arabia's long-term issuer default rating was downgraded by Fitch to A from A+. The outlook remains stable. Futures, meanwhile, they remain higher. S&P futures up 7 points, Dow futures up 50, NASDAQ futures up 27, and the 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 1.69%, the yield on the 2-year at 1.63%, and the euro 1.0920 against the dollar. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.